6:50 on Fox Sports 1360, the Furniture Fair Roundtable Show at Long Neck Sports Grill and Wilder. It's brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman, till 8 tonight. The NFL follows us. It's the Patriots and the Falcons going on at Fifth Third Arena in about 10 minutes. They'll tip it off for UC versus Presbyterian. With that in mind, we bump Justin Williams up a few minutes so we can talk to him and then let him get to work covering the game tonight. He's covering all things Bearcats for The Athletic. Let's welcome in Justin Williams. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing great. I feel like I've made it now. You guys are rearranging your schedule for me, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, don't get used to this, Buster. Just don't get used to this.
This is how Rocky must feel all the time.
There you go. Yeah, right. A couple of different things football-wise, and I want to ask you a basketball question as well. You wrote a fantastic piece about Dez Ritter and Gino Guidulli and just how cool the dynamic is as Dez sets the career record for touchdown passes, breaking Gino's record. The dynamic of player – coach, former player, and even Gino, when he said he feels like a proud dad when he watches Dez Ritter play.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously, you know, what Dez accomplished, breaking the school's all-time career passing touchdown. That's a huge deal. It's even better than Gino, the guy he passes as his quarterback's coach, has been here, you know, coaching him the past 4 years as he's kind of set that record. That's really cool. But, you know, just kind of what Gino represents to the program and the university, a guy who he knows what this program was like when he was here, when he was setting that initial record. And, you know, he talked about it after that game to kind of see how far things have come now for Dez as a player, but also just the program in general. That, to me, kind of stood out as, you know, man, this everyone is aware of what a great season this is that Cincinnati's having, but to kind of look at it through the lens of someone like Gino Guidulli, you know, to see how far the program's come and how far Dez has come, that to me was a pretty cool kind of angle and way to look at it.
Justin, I want to stay on Gino Guidulli. What is, in your opinion, or what are you hearing in terms of his future? I mean, he's, you know, working with a guy like Dez Ritter, and, you know, this offense scores points. Like, I imagine he's got to be in line for the next job at some point, correct?
Yeah, I mean, people around here, you know, I'm down in Fifth Third Arena. People around here don't like talking about this because they want to try and keep, you know, Gino as much a secret as possible. But he's got a really bright future, and, you know, he obviously has ties here, and I think he would love to stay at Cincinnati as long as possible. But, you know, I think he has a really bright future in coaching. He's a great recruiter. And I think for people, you know, and I've talked to Gino about this. I think people that knew him when he was here as a quarterback, like, you wouldn't expect – kind of what he's become as a coach and a recruiter and a developer, but he's really good. He's a big part of why Dez has had so much success here at Cincinnati. He's a big part of the recruiting leap that this program's taken under Luke Fickell. And, you know, I think that was, it might have seemed like an obvious hire because of his ties here, but I think it was a really smart hire by Fickell, and Gino's just turned out to have been a huge part of this organization the past few seasons.
Justin Williams checking in from The Athletic, talking UC football and also basketball. They go on the, 31-0 run last Saturday against South Florida, and it feels like they're raring back to throw the punch that's going to knock them to the canvas and the 10 count, and they weren't able to do that, and that this team hasn't been able to land those final blows in this stretch.
Yeah, and that's been the issue. Like, you know, if you look at these past four games now where Cincinnati has won, and honestly, in most of those games, maybe outside of that Tulsa game right at the end, never really feel like they lost control or were in real danger of losing. But every time they've gotten to that precipice, that chance to kind of finish off the other team, you know, they make a mistake or they lose focus. And that's been the issue. It's not – they've been inconsistent, but not because they've been mediocre. They've actually been inconsistent because they've kind of had these wild swings of being really good, playing really well, and then kind of falling off and actually playing pretty bad for stretches. And it's been able to – get them by teams like USF and Tulsa and Tulane, but against SMU this weekend, like, they're not going to be able to have those long extended lapses. And, you know, Fickell talked about it. As good as the season has been, kind of the thing that's keeping him awake at night is when we're at that point where the game can kind of go one of two directions, they need to be able to flip that switch and kind of have that killer instinct, keep your foot on the gas and kind of blow teams out. And they just haven't been able to do it the past couple of weeks.
Let me ask you both you guys this. Is it actually important that this team has "quote unquote" style points and blows teams out? Is that really meaningful, or is it just we got to, you know, UC's got to win out? Is that enough?
I think that first ranking, when the committee put them at six, that to me telegraphed, like, maybe if you're beating teams by 30 or 40, it gives you a little extra credit. But, you know, their whole thing was outside of Notre Dame, who has Cincinnati beat. That, to me, speaks to even if you were blowing these teams out, then we're going to claim strength of schedule or your conference isn't as good. So they can use it as a talking point. But I think the truth is Cincinnati has to win out, and they're going to have to get some help from the team around them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's going to take them winning and help more so than it is them just blowing teams. I don't think at the end of the day that's could have a little bit of an effect, but it's not near as important as what's going to happen. It's going to take just some chaos with some other teams. Let's be point blank about it.
And the reality is in this stretch of close games lacking style points, the committee hasn't docked them. They haven't dropped them down to 7, 8, 9 and penalized them for this.
Right, but if they beat beat SMU by 40 and then beat Houston by 40 and beat East Carolina, but, you know, Oregon wins out.
Everybody else keeps winning.
Oklahoma State keeps
winning.
It's not going to matter. So.
Right, yeah. No, it's they can use it as kind of a talking point for maybe their reasoning, but I think the truth is they feel that Cincinnati is going to have to, you know, be perfect essentially in terms of their record, but they're still going to have some of those other teams around them falter. So, and that's why, that's part of the reason why I think fans and even the players and coaches are a little bit, you know, over the whole style points argument because I think it might be a little bit of a red herring.
Justin, injury-wise, they were without some key guys Saturday. How do things look for this week?
Yeah, and then they got, you know, they were out without Ford and Renfro in that game against USF, and then they got beat up in that game too.
Yep.
The good news for them is I don't think anybody was serious to the point of, like, we're not going to see them for a couple weeks, but I think it's going to be similar that there's going to be some game-time decisions. I have to imagine that Ford and Renfro not going on short weeks last week would be a good sign for them to go, you know, hopefully this week against SMU. But you had somebody like, you know, Brian Cook, the safety, who's had a really good season. He got banged up and missed the latter part of that game Friday against USF. I think he's going to be one of those, going to go out there Saturday, see how he feels. But it's going to kind of come down to a last-minute call based on how they feel when they wake up Saturday morning. So a couple big-name players that we might not know until right up until game time if they can go.
Speaking of before game time, last question before we let you get to a tip at fifth third. Give me a takeaway watching this Bearcats basketball team get to 3-0. What has stood out to you? What has impressed you about this start?
You know, Wes Miller came in and he was like, "We're gonna focus on defense, and then we're gonna get out and play fast on offense and try and beat teams in transition off of steals and stops." And that was not just talk. That's exactly what they've done these first three games. And it's a small sample size, but I think you can already see the makings of a Wes Miller identity with this team. And the schedule's going to get tougher. They're going to have to, you know, keep improving. But as a Bearcats fan, it's hard not to be – I would think it has to be hard not to be encouraged by how this team has looked in the very early going, a very small sample size, but certainly kind of fulfilling that Wes Miller philosophy here at the start of the season.
You think we'll see Victor Lockin tonight?
He's good to go tonight. You know, I think if they really needed him Tuesday, he probably could have gone. You know, they have that big game against Illinois on Monday. So I think they were kind of just protecting him. But he's dressed, and he's going to play tonight. And he should be good to go for that big game Monday against Illinois as well.
Last, not a question, but an opportunity. You wrote a great piece today about kind of the UC-Georgia game last season, the Peach Bowl, setting the stage. For those who have not read it, kind of tease what's in that today. It was a great read.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably the best bowl game of kind of the cycle last year, but I don't think anyone realized they were watching two of the top contenders for 2021. So in different ways, that game set the stage for the number one ranked Georgia team and then a Cincinnati team that's trying to go on this kind of special Cinderella run. And I think we kind of broke down how it set up each of the current seasons for both of those teams.
It is an excellent read. You can find it at the Athletic, theathletic.com. You can find Justin on Twitter at Williams_Justin. We will release you just in time to catch the opening tip and await your reactions on Twitter and through print to tonight's game. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.